It's time for another installment of the Spider Insight Podcast, where we talk all things Richmond football. And by we, I mean Christian Gravis, our football director of public relations, and yours truly, Bob Black, your voice of the Spiders. Thanks for finding us for another edition. Coming up on today's show, we'll recap the victory over Wofford. Of course, we'll preview the game at North Carolina in Chapel Hill coming up this Saturday. And our special player guest will be the Spiders' new punter from down under. Another one from Australia, Ned Gray, the freshman who's been a busy guy the first 2 weeks of the season and has handled it greatly through those first two games. Ned Gray coming up here in just a little bit. Christian, first win of the year for the Spiders, really important. We wanted to get out of that doldrum of starting 0-2. Spiders are 1-1. It came with a cost, though, because of the injuries that were really significant to the Spiders. Defense really flexes its muscles the entire game. Offense at least got it going in the fourth quarter enough to help secure a Spider victory.
That's right. It's always good to go and get that first win of the season, get that out of the way. You know what it's like to win now with this team. You see that you can do it. But yeah, like you had mentioned, the injuries really plagued us. And then, of course, the rain delay, too, that set us back an hour and 40 minutes. But what I like to see is, considering those two things, the way that this team is able to overcome adversity this early in the season, and especially with how young they are, too, overcoming adversity is a lot of times a senior trait. And it's good to see a lot of young guys being able to do that and come away with a win at Wofford.
Yeah, let's break it down. And I'm going to start offensively. I think it would be easy to start defensively because the defense was so good, and we'll get to that. But maybe we saw some, you know, baby steps of progress in that fourth quarter with the game on the line. You get the game-winning scoring drive. Kyle goes in from 10 yards out. And then when you need to win the game at the end, the offense is able to plow through and allow Kyle to pick up the yardage for a game-ending first down. You've got a young, retooled offensive line. And as we said, you're missing a couple of playmakers there in Sean Clark and Jaden Fair. And so maybe we did see a little bit of progress by that offense, particularly in the fourth quarter when it counted the most.
Exactly. It's certainly an improvement from week one at Lehigh. 10 first downs the entire game, only two in the second half from week one. We improved to 16 this week. Still not necessarily where we want to be, but like you had mentioned, that game-winning drive from Kyle at the end, converting on third down with a 14-yard run, his longest of the day. You know, finding a way, like Coach had said post-game, they found a way to make plays.
He wasn't perfect, but it was a solid outing, right? I mean, throwing the ball 20 of 29, 153 yards, the touchdown pass for the first score of the game to Andrew King, and then his run at the end of the game that obviously sealed it, and the touchdown run that he had, 78 yards and the one touchdown. He did have the one interception. I know he would love to have that back on the last play of the first quarter, but all in all, pretty solid Kyle Wickersham performance.
That's right. Something Kyle had mentioned post-game with us was that, you know, the defense was giving great field position all game. What I'd like to see is capitalizing a little bit more on that great field position. Four of the punts that Wofford gave to us put us on the Wofford 42, the 50, Richmond 40, Richmond 46. One of those Kyle gets picked on. One of them ends in a touchdown. The other ones are just punts. So using those shorter fields to our advantage is really going to be something necessary going forward.
I do think it's also kind of important to put at least a verbal spotlight on that offensive line. Obviously, the Spiders reshaped it after week one. They moved Trey Gray to center. Bo Fowler gets a start at guard. Another young guy in Kelsey Hundley joins him on the right side of that offensive line. And kind of took them a while to kind of get their game legs about them. But like I've said several times now, it did seem like by the fourth quarter they were gaining some momentum.
Mm-hmm. And Kyle had mentioned as well, you know, how can you make adjustments for the fourth quarter when things aren't going your way throughout the game? What can you do in the fourth quarter to come back and find the win? And really our offensive line and the run game really, really, really developed a lot in that fourth quarter. I'm excited to see where that goes from here.
The injury losses of Sean Clark, and his was particularly brutal, particularly tragic, and Jaden Fair. That's taken a couple of big-time playmakers out of your offense.
Absolutely, and they're going to be looking to fill those gaps this week at North Carolina. It'll be interesting to see what the coaches put together for that. Wishing all the best to those two, especially Sean. That was scary to see him, you know, get carted off the field. That's going to be a lower leg injury for him. You know, at first you think, is it his head, and you fear the worst, but, you know, not that it makes any difference, but, you know, the leg injury will take over the head injury every time.
Meantime, on the defensive side, another standout performance. Wofford gets just 13 first downs. They finish with only 158 yards of total offense, only 47 on the ground. They don't have an offensive touchdown on the scoreboard. Another solid defensive performance by the Spiders, you know, led by that defensive front, really. Guys like Camden Bird and Donovan Hoy-Ladd, T.J. Baldwin, they all had really good games.
Yeah, our tackles and ends continue to be the, you know, the strong point of this team. Year after year, season after season, you keep seeing it. It's good to see those guys, too. We're using four defensive ends all game, keeping those guys fresh, and then, you know, rotating through the three tackles really keeps that group ready to go all game.
Good job by the Spider defense in helping Richmond to that victory. And as you said, you know, gave the offense some good field position during the course of the game, some short fields for them. Obviously, they'd like to capitalize on that a little more as we certainly move forward. All right, last thought kind of on Wofford for now. And then another reason the Spiders had such good field position was the punting game of Ned Gray. And he's coming up here in just a moment. But Christian, on my other radio show on the Sports Huddle on 106.1 ESPN, I really did term this as a must win for the Spiders in week two. I know we've started 0-2 the last couple of years and it turned out fine and got us to the postseason, but one of those losses wasn't a conference loss in the last couple of years. It was this time around. And we weren't staring at the FBS in week three in North Carolina. Look, they're going to be prohibitive favorites. You still play the game on the field, but certainly you didn't want to put yourself in that kind of hole moving forward before you've even played a home game. So I really did term that as a must win, and the Spiders got it.
Starting 0-2 is tough, and we've done it the past 2 years and been able to come back and make the playoffs from those starts and have conference championship winning teams. But if you start 0-2, this year, one of those losses is a league game, and then you probably, you know, you're looking at possibly 0-3 pretty, you know, easily with North Carolina coming up in week three. A couple years ago when we started 0-1 against Morgan State, the following week was Michigan State, and that gives you the 0-2. So it's a little bit of a different beast this year where, you know, one of those losses is a league loss, and then you play the second game, which you said was a must win, which lucky we came away with that. But then going into the week three against the FBS is something this team hasn't seen yet.
Absolutely. One of the reasons the Spiders won, we mentioned it, was field position. One of the ways to get field position is to have your punter do a really good job. We have a new punter. I know Russ Huseman, the Spiders head coach, was holding his breath a little bit in week one. Apparently he didn't have to, because as we introduce Ned here in just a moment, Ned Gray, he's been terrific. And boy, he's punted a lot in the first 2 weeks, which is a good news, bad news. I'm sure he likes being on the field and punting. We'll ask him about that in a moment. But obviously, the offense doesn't want to put your punt team on the field 14 times in the first 2 weeks.
Exactly. And there's a lot of colors going on here. He's Ned Gray. He's very green to the game. But it's awesome to see that, you know, his teammates have rallied behind him and have given him, you know, the tools he needs to go out there and be calm and get the job done. And he's done a serviceable job in the first 2 weeks for sure.
And Bob Black is going to be one of those interviewing him now.
Look at that.
Another color to the scheme. Ned, let's bring you in here. Thank you for joining us. And, hey, let's start right there. What have these first 2 weeks of college football, your first two ever weeks of college football, been like with 14 punts in the first two games?
Yeah, oh, thanks for first having me on the podcast today. But it's been amazing. I mean, you know, already 14 punts is, you know, not been what we wanted at the start, but it's, you know, I love punting, and getting better each punt has been amazing, and definitely some things to work on out there, but it's been amazing so far, just a whole new experience for me, and, you know, I'm keen to see where it all takes me.
We all are. What's kind of the difference like between the type of punts you've been asked to do? Like, sometimes you've been asked to have short punts to pin teams deep in their own territory. Other times you've been able to kind of try and boom punts out of there for as much distance as you can get. What's that kind of been like for a punter?
Yeah, well, I mean, you kind of learn over full camp, you know, that, you know, you have different types of punts for different scenarios. But, you know, I have had a lot of pooch punts, which is just where you do try to pin them as close to the end zone as possible, and you know, that's been really a good learning curve for me, actually, because you know, it's something I'm not really used to as much, but I'm enjoying it, and hopefully over the next couple of games, you know, I can get that closer to the 5 yard, you know, near the end zone if possible. But yeah, you do have those other punts, you know, a bit further back where you can really try launch them, and they're a bit funner for me, but we'll see. I hope I get a few more of those, but, you know, I'm hoping to not punt at all, really. So
No, when you say launch, I mean, you are actually launching that thing into orbit. I mean, you have serious hang time on your punts, and it shows because in 14 punts, only one's been returned, and it was only for 4 yards.
Third punt for Ned Gray. Gets it up in the air. Good. Booming kick, driving Isaiah Scott all the way back to the 26-yard line, and again, a fair catch and no return. So Ned Gray has been one of the Spiders' best players here in the first half.
I mean, that's as good as it gets. Nice and high, no chance for a return. Got to call the fair catch. You got plenty of distance on that punt. Ned Gray has been doing outstanding today.
46-yard punt. So three 40-plus yard punts for Ned Gray.
I do take pride in my height, sometimes a bit too much, but I do think that's a real strength of mine and why Coach Huseman, you know, thought it'd be best for me to come punt here and replace Aaron Trussler, just because they do value that net punt that they've been so good at the last few years. So I think that, you know, having that height really helps keep that tradition going.
You must talk a lot with Coach Huseman because he's always referencing net punting yards.
Yes, he loves
being
it.
The most important.
Yeah. Is that Ned punting yards or net punting
We should call it Ned
we
punting
call
yards.
It Ned,
yeah, we'll start
Ned.
That.
All right, you mentioned Aaron Trussler and, of course, coming over here from Australia. So let's backpedal a little bit, Ned. Yep. How did all this come about? How did you land as a Richmond Spider?
Well, I mean, we can go back a few years just quickly, you know, didn't play American football, obviously, like Aaron did, and joined Pro Kick Australia with John Smith and Nathan Chapman, and so did Aaron Trussler. And basically from there, they try teach you the different styles of punting and, you know, try to get recruited over here. And, you know, about six to eight months ago, I got reached out to by Richmond and Coach Huseman and Coach Anthony, and you know they were looking for someone to replace Aaron, and you know we both have a similar strength to our game with our rollout Aussie style punting style. So you know, had that, and Aaron and myself have been in contact ever since, and he's been really helpful with the process of coming over here and really helping the team out and their net punting back at it again. So that's been really amazing coming over here.
You guys are both from Melbourne. How far away are you guys? If your, you know, house is in Australia, is it pretty far or is it pretty close? Do you see him? Have you seen him in Australia, or do you just kind of talk to him, you know, over the phone?
I have seen him out and about back home in Melbourne, but we do live about 5-10 minutes away from each other, different high schools, but it's crazy that we are so close and still, you know, over here in Richmond on the other side of the world.
And this is where you really kind of connect and find yourselves as on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the advantage of being left-footed like you are.
Well, yeah, it's good you mentioned that. The first time I joined Pro Kick back at the start, they mentioned this real love for a lefty punter out there in the States. And it's basically when you roll out left, it's a whole new scheme for most teams because, you know, everyone these days are mostly righties. So having that ability to go left is also a bit of a strength because teams aren't used to facing that. As well as it's a different type of spin, specifically with spirals, but also rollouts. It's just a different spin and how it comes down. It's just a bit different for the returners. So, you know, there's more of a chance that they might drop the catch or, you know, fumble it or whatsoever. So that's been really helpful.
The first two games were played at Lehigh and at Wofford. Game three is at North Carolina.
Yeah.
I think you already understand the differences that will occur Saturday. As a punter, are there much differences? How excited are you about, you know, bigger stadium, bigger crowd, different level team? I imagine punting is still punting, but the atmosphere will probably be a little different for you Saturday.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around all that, but it's just another game, as Coach Huseman likes to say, but it's hard not to think about these things. So I really do think, though, that having the two games away really was beneficial for myself because, God, you can get nervous out there. But, you know, those nerves have slowly come and settled down. So I think this will be a really great chance for myself and the team to really show what we're made of, and I'm just so excited to experience, you know, this is what I dreamed of, playing in such big crowds, and It'll be so exciting. I have two mates that play at UNC, both punters, so it'll be also good to see some familiar faces over there.
Hey, how much of that is in effect? When Aaron came over here, this whole Australian kicker-punter thing was just evolving, and now there are Australian kickers, as you just alluded to, literally all over the country in college football. How much of an impact was that on you deciding that this is what you wanted to do as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's becoming more and more popular these days. Everyone wants to come over here in the States and get that unique experience that you just never could back home with the college sport lifestyle in general. It's just amazing over here, and you know, I dreamt of it as a kid, just trying to get to that professional level, and this is just as good. And yeah, it's just crazy. There's people all over the States from that come back from Australia that went to Pro Kick, and it's been amazing having those connections and resources at your disposal here in the States just to help out and make you feel more at home, which has been amazing.
What was it like when you first stepped foot here on American soil? Was this the first time that you have been here, or had you been here previously before you came to campus?
Yeah, I've been here twice. I went on a three times, actually. This is my third time officially coming to the States, but I had a three-week spell over spring game, the spring ball here this spring with Aaron, and he showed me the ropes of everything and really showed me around campus, and that was amazing to, you know, really know what I was getting into and get excited for that, for the start of my own career.
What's the best part about being over here aside from football? Is there something that has really been kind of fun to you off of the field? I know the academic part will be challenging, but even beyond that, has there been something that you've really, really enjoyed about being here?
I honestly, I haven't had too much time to go explore, but I really do think that the whole lifestyle itself, not because it's because I love it, it's because it's so unique, mm-hmm. and just everything that's slightly different to here than it is to Australia has just been a great experience. And the food, you know, the culture, the tipping lifestyle, it's all different, and I'm loving it.
Well, we're loving having you here as well. We hope to see you less on the field and more on the sideline, but keep having the quality punts, if not the quantity, and really enjoyed having you, and I know our Spider fans enjoyed catching up with you, so thanks, Ned.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. Thank you, Christian.
Yeah, thanks, Ned. Now, I've said it before on this show, Bob, the specialists are my guys. I love hanging out with them on the sidelines during practice and talking to them, and they're just a great group of guys, and Ned certainly adds to that room so much. I love seeing him all the time. A place I don't want to see him as much, though, is on the field, and hopefully we don't see him nearly as much as we have these past 2 weeks, Saturday at North Carolina.
I think it's been great. We've been able to continue the Australian tradition from Aaron Trussler to Ned Gray, and hopefully Ned has just as good, if not better, a career than the good one, the really good one that Aaron had during his time, and hopefully he has as good an experience as Aaron had while he was here. And the special teams have been good. I know that was a concern and a worry going into the season, but they really have been, other than the place-kicking game, and maybe Jaden Olszewski is about to firm that up a little bit if he's healthy and can be the Spiders' primary place kicker. Maybe that helps shore that part of it up, but Will McManus has been excellent on kickoffs. The kickoff returns have been good. Coverage, punt has been good. Punt coverage and punt return, although without a Jaden Fair back there, you know, Kwanye Vini will get an opportunity to return those punts, and that's helped give the Spiders good field position as well, where punt returners haven't let those punts bounce and roll for an extra 15 or 20 yards.
Exactly, and you know, I think on Saturday we might see Jay Nelszewski have to take a couple, you know, I think he's going to have to go out there to try PAT. I'm not sure against, you know, maybe a size mismatch North Carolina defense. We're not going to get nearly as close to the red zone as we'd like, so we might have to settle for a kick. So be on the lookout to see what that looks like on Saturday.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Saturday, and obviously it would be hard to start a discussion of North Carolina without talking about the Bill Belichick effect and everything that has gone on down there. And as a visiting team, you want to try and focus on what you're doing and kind of block out the noise as much as you can. But it's really hard to do that, Christian. In this case, so much has been built up around Belichick and the program. Everybody saw that first game. We saw how hyped they were at the beginning and how great it started. And then the air came out of the balloon so quickly on them in game one. So this is their first home game since that one, because they went down to Charlotte to get their first win last week.
Exactly. In the last two games, we've played in front of sparse crowds. You know, there's a lot of empty seats seats in the stands. Not going to be so much that Saturday in North Carolina. You know, every game this season for them has been sold out. I think Keenan Stadium holds about 55,000, so it's going to be a really cool opportunity for our guys to go and just be in an atmosphere like that more than anything. And, you know, I as the SID never like to give a ton of credit to the team that we're playing, and I never, you know, especially FBS FCS matchups, I don't want to bow to the FBS team. We're talking Bill Belichick. I mean, come on.
So it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about this, and I know Coach Usman is going to deflect all of that. I already heard him doing that earlier this week on Fitz the Bill on Jack Fitzpatrick's show on our flagship station on 106.1 ESPN, and I get that. That's probably the appropriate coaches speak, but let's be honest. We know who's patrolling the other sideline, and I was thinking about this. Russ Usman has actually coached against arguably the greatest NFL coach in history in Bill Belichick, or will on Saturday, and arguably the greatest college coach in history because his Chattanooga teams played Nick Saban and Alabama.
Exactly. They played him three times right before the Iron Bowl when they'd go and play Auburn. That was a tradition that they had going when coach was down at Chattanooga. And, yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. There's seven each, right? Seven Super Bowl wins from Belichick and seven national championship wins from Saban. So there's a lot of rings on the other sideline across from Coach. But, you know, it's awesome to be able to go up with the best of them.
Coach has his share of rings from his time at Chattanooga.
Absolutely.
And his time at
Absolutely,
Richmond,
yeah.
As well. All right, kind of all kidding aside, and we're not really kidding about that because the atmosphere will certainly be a factor, something that our guys do not experience. They look forward to experiencing it once a year. I think you can do something about that if you want to from a crowd noise standpoint. You can pipe in crowd noise when you practice. We've seen plenty of coaches do that, whether it's football or basketball. I don't know if the Spiders are doing that this week. They're not on Tuesday as we watch practice. Maybe they will later in the week. The other part of it, though, that I think is really hard, and we have seen it year in and year out when we play an FBS team, is the speed of the game, and really hard to replicate that in practice. We talk about how good our speed is, particularly on defense. I think the FBS teams show that it's an entirely different level, the speed of the game, and man, you got to acclimate to that really quickly when the game starts. It's really hard to do.
And I'm not sure from a defensive standpoint, do you scheme them up differently? Is there something that you can do? I'm not a coach, so I'm not really sure on that front, but I do know that from what I've observed, the difference between FCS and FBS is not always football IQ. It's not always athleticism. It's size and it's speed. And those two things are hard to play against when they're at your disadvantage.
They played a good defensive game against Charlotte last week. They won that game 20-3, but very definitely they're still, you know, a work in progress. They have the transfer quarterback, Gio Lopez. They used Max Johnson in the first game, came back from an injury. They've got good wide receivers, good running back in Caleb Hood, and obviously their defense took a step forward last week, not allowing a touchdown.
That's right, and if you look at their defensive depth chart, there's a name that should stand out a little, maybe not stand out that much, Will Hardy. His brother, Jackson Hardy, was quarterback for the Spiders for a couple years recently.
So maybe we get a little insight on the game there, probably.
Maybe
not.
We will. But, you know, when I was Googling Will Hardy, I found out that that's the Utah Jazz coach who is a Richmond native who went to St. Christopher's. So there's your fun fact for the day.
There are all sorts of local angles. That's probably a good place to leave it for today. Let's just take a couple of quick moments, though, Christian. And we'll do this next week because we're finally going to get a home game. And I do wonder about the impact and the effect on these first three games all on the road. Last week was difficult travel because of the weather situation. Nobody's fault, but it made for a really late night, and getting back to Richmond in twilight on Sunday morning, just how three straight road games will impact this team when we finally do get back here to Robins Stadium against VMI a week from Saturday.
That's right. Homecoming is not until we play Holy Cross, but really this feels like homecoming. I mean, this is home sweet home. As we're up here in the radio booth at the stadium, we're looking down. They're putting Patriot League paint down on the field, so we're getting ready for that game. The tents are set up in the end zones. You can feel that we're almost going to have a home game, which is awesome.
First things first, though, at North Carolina, you know, they are affectionately calling it Chapel Bill. We're on our way to Chapel Hill. Saturday, it's a 3:30 kickoff. We'll have it for you on the radio, 106.1 ESPN, Chris Anderson, Matt Smith, and myself. 3 o'clock is our airtime from Keenan Stadium, and the game is on the ACC Network, so you'll be able to tune in there beginning at 3:30. And, you know, let's all go and embrace the trip, shall we?
That's right, and I just want to add, I'm a lifelong Bills fan. I never thought watching games as a kid, seeing Bill Belichick just completely torment me and the rest of Bills Mafia, that someday at the end of a football game I would be on the same field as him. So looking forward to Saturday for sure.
All right, for Christian Gravis, I'm Bob Black, and thanks to our special player guest, Spider punter Ned Gray. Again, tune in Saturday, 3 o'clock on the radio, 3:30 kickoff, also on ACC Network, Spiders at North Carolina. Wrap it up next week and preview the home opener against VMI when we join you for the next edition of the Spider Insight Podcast.